All right, guys. All right, take out your notebook. We'll read this together one last time. Hopefully you guys read this morning in preparation for today. It says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Go ahead and turn to session 3 of your notes. Session 3. And then in your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew 6. And as you're turning there, I'm having you guys do a lot at once, but I'm in your notes, you know the top 3. Belief affects thoughts, and it affects actions. And I've said this a lot, and I'm hoping that it sticks. Your beliefs will manifest and will cause you to start bringing things in your mind to affirm those beliefs. And then those thoughts and beliefs will manifest itself into your actions. So this is external. This is what's on the outside. This is what people see. This is what you talk about the most. This is where you spend the most money. This is where you spend the most time. These are the people that you hang out with the most. These are actions. These are external things. Before, we talked about internal, the heart, then the mind, and now the flesh on the outside. So with this, we see in Luke 6:45, as we've read it before, paraphrase, out of the mouth pours the desires of the heart. This is And here's the thing. If I spent enough time with each one of you, every single one of you, I could, at some point, figure out what you like the most. Just like if you listen to me, you would probably know I love pizza. And you don't have to hear me say it. You could just look at me. My favorite restaurant is Texas Roadhouse. So already, you know it's one of my favorite things in life. Food. I love food. Amen. Brunch was amazing. I love basketball. I love the Golden State Warriors. You can say I'm a bandwagon fan. That's fine. I love them. I love basketball. I talk about sports a lot. I talk about my job a lot. I talk about my friends a lot. And I talk about God a lot. Because we talk about things we love. And one of those things that I love is video games. I asked my wife, I love video games. And she loathes them. No, she doesn't. I do. But in this, I want to read something, because when we get into, and I'm going to go back to the video games thing, because I have a story for you concerning myself. Because I never like getting up here and being like, and you need to change. Acting like I'm perfect. I'm not perfect. Far from it. I want you to take a second, keep your finger there in Matthew, and I want you to turn to Philippians 2 with me. One of the things that I actually have failed to do, and I feel bad about this, is I never defined contentment. It's so easy to say, be content in the Lord. And you're like, I don't even know what that looks like. Because being content in the Lord is one of those sentences that sounds good. And me as a pastor, I can say it without explaining it. And you walk away going, okay, but I don't know where to go from there. If you look in Philippians 2, we're going to start in verse 14. It says this, "Do all things without complaining or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." In this passage, we see two things here. Do all things without complaining or questioning. Other words that could be used in this same sentence are grumbling and disputing. If you've spent any time at all on Facebook, or any time on any social media, or you're checking your email, somehow someone got your email account, or you check your text messages and somehow someone's got your number and they're sending you something arguing about their side of the political system or their side of the social dilemmas that are happening in our world. Do you know what I'm talking about? Or you see the threads. It's like, "No, I'm right, no, I'm right, no, I'm right, no, I'm right, I hate you." Like, and it gets there and it gets ugly and you're like, "Golly." You know what this is called? Disputing. And we get caught up in it. We really do. I get caught up in it. It may not be political things because that's not necessarily my thing. But if you come at me and say LeBron's righteous, I'm going to shut you down. That's me. And I will argue about basketball. I will argue about If you say something about something I have this solid opinion on, I'll argue. But you know what this is a sign of? Discontentment. The Bible actually says, do not talk about vain things. These are things that don't matter. And we jump on these things because we've believed something. We've researched about it, and that's the thing that we are most passionate about. It's manifested itself. But this is what's so interesting about this part, that you may be, so do all things without grumbling or questioning. This is with your parents. This is with your friends. When your parents say to do something, you're like, that's questioning, grumbling. It's not what I want to do, though. I've been there. I do this with a myriad of things. It's because there's a part of your life where it's like, I want to live for myself. And so it's manifesting itself in this way. But here's the kicker. When we do all things without complaining, without grumbling, without questioning, without disputing, this in our life is in the spot where it needs to be. We believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we're putting in our minds truth. This is why. That you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Culture is selling you something that isn't legit. They're telling you how to think. It's been relegated to my truth. You can believe whatever you want to believe, but you gotta allow me to believe what I want to believe. That means, according to that rule, there is no truth. And we're falling for it. We're allowing all these other things to dictate what we really think and what we should do and what we should. And it ends up being the people that are celebrating your sin, and you're going, "I'm okay with that because I want to be affirmed in it. I want to keep doing what I want to do." And God's like, "No, I want you to stop that because I want you to be a light in this crooked and twisted generation. I want you to be pointing towards me and saying, He changes me. He's the truth. He's why I am the way I am." And it's all reflected on this. On what God says, not what the world says. In your notes, our actions highlight our inner unrest. And then our actions show where we try to find refuge. I wish I had like a funny story for this, but I don't. I'm sorry. Man, that breakfast really got me. All right, so there's your thing. I want to tell you a story about my life. It's recent, but I think it's really relevant. 2019, December, my wife and I, one night we were like, let's watch this, let's watch something. We like stand-up comedians, so we usually turn something on or we find something we haven't seen before. And there's a stand-up comedian called Gary Goldman. And he's very funny. He's one of my favorite comedians. And a while back, he did this stand-up special, and this is like 8 years ago. He did this stand-up special. It was really funny. But then he disappeared. And you don't think anything of it. It's not like you're waiting for the next special to come out. But then all of a sudden, 2019, he comes out with a special. And the title of it is called The Great Depression. And I was like, this is going to be good. So we turn it on, and we start watching it. And he's really funny. We're laughing hysterically. Like if you've ever seen me laugh really hard, I did it with Alex. So I'll cry, I'm laughing so hard. Like, I'm wiping tears. Like, I love to laugh. But then he started explaining why he's doing this special and why he's been gone for so long. And said he suffered from depression. Crippling depression. He didn't want to leave his house. And so, over time, he got better, and then he's able to do this, and he wants to get the word out. But as he's going along, I'm no longer laughing. Because it's so familiar. When he's saying certain things, it's like, I don't want to laugh anymore. I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to hang out with my friends. Things that I used to love, I don't love anymore. And I was like, and he's explaining, and he's giving examples. Like, in his life, he loves certain sports over other sports because he can hide in the crowd. And I'm like, holy moly, this is me. I had to chew on it for a couple days, and we watched it on Friday night, and then the Sunday came, and we went to church, and I just can't get this out of my head. And so Sunday night, I go to Sarah, and I said, Sarah, I think I might be depressed. And I go, but I don't want to jump on that because there's a lot of labels with that, right? Having depression is a very vague term. I want to know that I know, okay? So it's not like I'm going to be like, I agree with a lot of that. I'm like, I relate, so I must be that. I want it to be clinically diagnosed. So January of 2020, we started this process. I was like, I want to know. So I went to a doctor, my primary care physician, and I had taken some assessments, and it had said, like, yeah, you have moderate depression. That's what they kept telling me. I was like, so I definitely need to do something. So I went and saw my primary care physician, and he asked me even more probing questions. Has this lasted for more than 8 months? And the answer was yes. Yeah, I felt this way for a long time. And have I had suicidal thoughts? No. I hadn't had suicidal thoughts. I know that's part of severe depression, but I wasn't there. But I felt inadequate. I felt like I didn't deserve the friends I had, the wife I had, the kids I had. I'm not good enough. Everything that's bad that's happening is my fault. I could be better than this. These are all the thoughts. And so my primary care physician said, what do you want to do? You have moderate depression. We can do medicine. What would you like? And I go, I think I can beat this. I don't want medicine. I want to go more of the holistic route. And he goes, okay, so here's what you can do. Exercise. Cardio 20 minutes a day. You can tell I do it. Cardio 20 minutes a day. Be outside. Find a good community. The thing is I had all that, so I just was like, in that year, I had decided my New Year's resolution was to spend 1,000 hours outside. That was my New Year's, and that was before I knew. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. So, by the way, 1,000 hours outside or the whole year, that's a lot. I only made it to like 750. But I was outside a lot more. So then I went, and I didn't want to stop there. I needed to see a counselor. So in February, I started seeing a counselor, and praise the Lord, it was he works for a secular company, but his degree is in counseling pastors because of how normal this is. And I was like, holy moly, this is awesome. He wasn't allowed to bring up God in conversation unless I brought him up. So the very first thing I would do every single counseling session is like, so I've been reading this in my Bible, and he's like, all right, you know, like, and he was great with me. He was so great, and we were pointing out different things in my life, and it wasn't like we're trying to get to the crux of the matter. What's happening in my heart that is manifesting these things? Well, at first it was like, I have to be in control of everything, so I have to have power. And I manipulate things to make sure that everyone knows that I'm in control. So I put more on myself than I should. And praise the Lord, I have friends like Alex and Jeremy and my wife and Matt and so many others that are like, stop! But life went on, and I'm still going to counseling once a week, every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Things are getting better, but I'm treating symptoms. I'm not treating the heart issue. And I'm finding this out. Like, I'm retraining my mind, but I still have this heart issue, and I don't know what it is. It's driving me insane. And then October hit. And it changed my life. I deal with the finances in our house. And my wife trusts me. Praise the Lord, she trusts me. And I said I like video games. I love video games. Like, you guys can go, yeah, I like video games too. I've been playing them since I was 5 years old. I've always had a collection. It drives me nuts right now that I don't have a new system. My wife, every once in a while, will ask me, how are we doing financially? And I'm like, yeah, we're doing good. Like, we're fine. Like, we're ahead. And then she just trusts me. And like I said, it's a grace I didn't deserve. And you may think this is silly. I don't know. I love gaming all around. So I like mobile gaming as well. And I love Star Wars, and there's a game called Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. You guys may know it, you may not, I don't know. I've been playing it since its release, religiously. This is what it looked like in my life. In the morning, I get up and I do all my dailies. Like, all my daily challenges, and I got those done. And then, depending on what my guilt did, like, I would have different things I needed to do during the day. At noon, you would get an energy replenish and all that, so you got to do more. Then at 6 o'clock, I had more to do. And then before I went to bed, I made sure that I spent everything, all my energy and everything I needed to spend in order to get as much as I could in this day. And the next day, I do the same. One of my biggest fears was even coming to Snow Trip and not being able to do it because I didn't have enough service, because I'd let down my guild. I was in the server I was in, I was number 27 of like thousands of people. I was a top three guy in my guild of 50. I'm in my brain, I'm like, I'm really good at this game. This is my baby. I spent a lot of time on that game. But not only that, I spent a lot of money on it. Not just that, too. I spent it a lot on Xbox. A game would come out, and I'd want it, so I'd buy it. I'd look at our account, and be like, I think we could spare that. And I'd get it. My wife, in October, said, hey, can I see the financial statement? And in the back of my mind, I was like, if she sees this, we're going to have issues. I knew it. And I didn't want her to see it. So I would show her enough. And then I'd take it back. And then she's like, no, let me see it. I remember. She's like, come on, let me see it. And she starts scrolling through, and she's seeing a Microsoft charge. Hey, what's this? And then Apple Store. Hey, what's this? And I lied. I lied to my wife. I want to be completely transparent with you. Because I want to tell you what this does. What depression does. How you believe something affects the way you think, which comes out in your actions. I lied to my wife. Straight up. Tried to tell her that it wasn't that big of a deal. That it was just once. It was just this month. And then she graciously believed me for a time with a little bit of...
One day.
Yeah, one day. With a doubt in the back of her mind. Like, there's something more to this. So she wanted to see more. And then I was like, just lied. I knew it. I don't want to get caught. This is last October. All right? This is last October. It's because I'm very normal. Just like you. I don't know how I can relate any more than that. She looked at our account, and then she went the entire year. And I'm not going to tell you the amount of money I spent. But believe me, it was a lot. You can have a number in your mind, and I promise you it's a little more than that. I don't want to say the number because I don't want you to be like, I didn't spend as much as he did, so I must be okay. So what we did is, again, she graciously forgave me, and we worked through it, as I believe you should, with your spouse. We worked through it, and what happened was, she said, yeah, get rid of it. We talked and we decided this is what we need to do. And I'm telling you, wholeheartedly, I didn't want to. I just spent 6 to 7 years on this game. And a lot of money. Over 6 and 7 years. I didn't want to get rid of it. This is my baby. But what we found out, this was church for me. This was a refuge. This was my rest. If life was getting insane or like it wasn't fair, where'd I run? I ran to video games. And I enjoyed it. There's actually I read something online and I'll finish this. We decided to take it out of my life. The rest of October and into November, I didn't play anything. I deleted it off my phone, which is the hardest thing, because I had to tell my guild, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. They were my community. We all knew each other from all over, but they were my community. And I had to tell them I can't help you anymore. So I deleted off my phone. Since then, I've not had a single game on my phone because I know what it does to me. We put my Xbox in another room. We took that out. So I stopped playing video games. And I realized in this time that I was believing that my rest, I was believing that my refuge was in that. And so I would go to it regularly. And then I never dealt with the God that was in my life. Which was that. Surprisingly enough, that was the main thing causing my depression. And it wasn't video games that caused it. It was my sin that caused it. And I remember November was probably the best month I've had in years. It was a weight lifted off of my shoulders because I realized I was serving a God that doesn't exist. I was trying to satisfy someone that doesn't exist. You have your Bibles open at Matthew. I want to read this. And I'm going to stress something after we read it. Matthew 6, starting in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Do you hear the conflict? When we just read that, did you hear the conflict? You hear the war happening there? When we're serving two masters, one is legit and the other one isn't, it doesn't matter. We will want to create, there will be this war happening in our hearts the whole time. And I do believe that this is one of the main causes for anxiety and depression. Do you guys know what the difference is? And I was talking to some of the leaders yesterday and loved hearing what they had to say too. The difference between anxiety and fear. Fear is tangible. And so often the word anxiety gets misused a lot. When someone says, I don't want to get up in front of class and do a speech, I have anxiety. That's not anxiety. You're afraid to speak in front of class. That's fear. It's something you can grasp. It's something you put an actual name to it. Phobia is a fear. Anxiety is intangible. It's something in your mind. It's like if I were to say, there's a lion right there, but I'm the only one that can feel it. That's the difference between anxiety and fear. And we have to be very careful that we're not saying we have anxiety when it's actually fear. Because you can train your mind to believe you have something that you actually don't have. I believe anxiety is very real. And I know depression is very real. But I do believe that they stem from this. Serving two masters. I got depressed because I was trying to exalt myself to a level that I shouldn't have been. I was trying to complete these lists of things that mean nothing. Point number one, our actions reveal our allegiance. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't do it. You know why? Because the things of this earth are passing away. They're going to be gone. I know it's cliche, but you're not bringing anything with you when you die. You're dead. You're gone. I thought about it the other day. My dad, I'll tell his story so the day I die. My dad is in my brains, a legend. I love him so much. And those that have met my dad, like the stories he tells, the experiences he's had. And he'll tell stories of his great-grandfather that I never met. But I can't remember that guy's name. My kids will never know that man's name. You know what this means? That there will be some point in your life that none of this matters what you have here on earth. And yet, we've convinced ourselves that this is the stuff we should worship. That the people in my guild and what I do for them matters. There will come a day where Galaxy of Heroes will never be supported. It will be done being supported. And all that money, all that time will have been wasted. There will come a day when your Instagram, your Snapchat will become my Facebook. You won't even, you're going to get to an age where you're going to look at the generation below you and you're going to be like, I remember when that was cool too. And you're going to realize how much time and effort you went into worshiping a God that doesn't exist. Fear of missing out. I know some of you are here and you're going, my friends are back home doing something I would also like to do. And you're going to get back and you're going to be excluded from inside jokes. Oh, I really wish I was a part of that. And they may not even talk to you. I know that's a thing. Who cares? In the scheme of things, God and eternal matters is what matters. Stop banking on things that won't last. Stop putting your belief system and feeding your thoughts in things that don't matter, in things that the world celebrates. Because in 10 years, they won't even care. Where's your allegiance? Because in this passage, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal these things. Go away. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Where's your allegiance? Is it eternal? Or is it here on earth? Are you fighting the wrong battle? Because this is what stirs up the discontentment in our hearts. And we'll never be satisfied if we're doing it for this earth. Never. Ever. You could go, no, I think I could do it. It wasn't until I came to grips that I was worshiping something on this earth for my depression to start being healed. I'm not out of the woods. Trust me. My depression isn't like, I wish. But I still battle it. I still battle with video games. But I have to remind myself, where's my allegiance? Next point. Our actions reveal our master. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What do you talk about the most? Where do you spend the most time? Where do you spend the most money? Who are your top five friends and what are they like? That's a big one. I love saying this because it reveals so much about our lives. Name your top five friends. You have them in your brain. Your top five friends, people that you're like, I'm sold out for them, they're sold out for me. And what do they believe? Because that's affecting you as well. I've learned to surround myself with friends that I know will tell me when I'm wrong, according to truth. I even, Jeremy and Alex know that if I'm up here and I say something contrary to the word, they have a full right to say, Jay, you're wrong. Every single one of my volunteers in our youth group, they know they have the right when they see a red flag to say, I don't think that's right. I have friends. One guy's down in Houston, Texas, and he calls me once a month. Hey, how are you doing? And he's a very blunt individual, and I love him to death. And I will say something that's going on, and these are the words, and I love it. I'll say, am I being an idiot here? And he'll go, yeah, Jay, you're being an idiot. I'm like, thanks, buddy. Surround yourself with people that will retrain your mind and will call you out when you're doing something you're not supposed to, in reflection of the word. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I want friends that will call me out on that. Last point, our actions reveal our heart. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? And then ends with this, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Money was a big issue in this time. If you had money, you were in favor with God. That's what people believed. And Jesus was trying to correct this mindset. He was trying to get them to understand you can't serve these two perfectly. You got to choose one. He says this to the rich young ruler, right? He says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. I believe that in our hearts when we're worshiping something else. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for someone whose master is something of this earth to enter the kingdom of God. So what should we be trying to do? I believe the Bible gives credence to this. I want someone to turn to Romans 12, 9 through 21. I need someone else to turn to Proverbs 3. And they're on your paper, so as I'm saying this, you can see it. And then Philippians 4. We have that on the back. And I want to end with that one. Romans 12. I guess we all can go there. This is kind of a long passage, but I think it's... really important. Let's all go to Romans 12. Thank you guys for your adaptability here. Let love be genuine. If you're not there, you can just listen. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in the spirit. Serve who? Lord. We've seen that before, right? Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Do not be haughty. I always think of the word haughty when I always do this, putting your nose in the air. like a haughty person is really proud of how great they are. Don't do that. Don't be haughty. But associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Oh man, that's huge in our world today, isn't it? Everyone's the smartest. Everyone knows the most. Like, I'm amazed on Facebook how much I see people know about things that are happening half a world away, and they're the expert. And we're like, yeah, that guy knows a lot. I agree with that guy. They don't know. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's go to Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Old Testament. Many of you have heard this. Some of you might even have it memorized. Trust in the
Lord
with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path. And then finally, Philippians 4 through 7, and you have it on your paper. And I'm going to end with this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Jesus. What this is saying and what the others are saying. And I love what Brad said earlier today. The things you do, your obedience should be an overflow of your love for God. I loved everything he said because he's proving this. The source has to be God. You have to love and believe in Jesus. All of these things come out of that. If you want contentment in your life, or you want to be striving towards this, I didn't even get into this because it's so huge, but even Paul says, I learned to be content in the highs and the lows, when I was thirsty, when I was hungry, or when I was sustained, everything, I learned to be content. You know what this means? That this is a learned trait. You did not come out of the womb and go, I'm fine. Everything's okay. No, you have, over the course of time, I'm 34 and I'm still learning it. If you know anything about Paul, he went through some stuff. And he had highs and lows, and in it all, he learned to be content because it wasn't on him. God brought him through that. Do you know the famous Philippians 4:13? What does it say?
I can do all things.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's tied to contentment. The source is Christ. Pray to who? Christ. And then at the very end, this is the promise. This is a promise of God. And a peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know what this means? That you are going to be going through turmoil, and your friends are going to look at you and go, I don't get it. How are you able to get through this? You're fully aware of the waves that are happening around you. How are you doing this? How are you? Like, I don't get it. You know why? Because it's a peace of God that surpasses all understanding. They don't and they won't understand it. And you won't either. But you'll have it. Not in yourself. not in anything in this world, but in Christ Jesus alone. I just had an idea. Can we do this? And I think you guys will be fine with this too. Leaders, can you go back to the tables?